Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Jay Posner. I'm Kevin Acey. I'm in Toronto. Jay, I'm not even sure. Am I saying it right? I mean, since I'm in Canada, like, are all my pronunciations correct? Like, Bill Centra?
Something like that. Yeah. Are we making history today? Is this our first across the border podcast? I don't think we did one in Mexico last year.
No, we did not.
I think, like the Raptors and former Aztec Kawhi Leonard trying to make history by bringing the NBA Finals across the border, we have brought the Hot Lava Podcast across the border one night before Toronto might be completely out of its mind tomorrow night with Game 6 of the NBA series there as we tape this on Friday. And I'm sure that the Padres-Blue Jays game probably won't steal much of the thunder from the Raptors at this point. The Blue Jays are a bad team right now at 20-30. And they're calling up a couple kids today, including Kevin Biggio, who is the son of Craig Biggio, of course. And I just saw this. Elias Sports Bureau says this is the first time ever that a team has two sons of Hall of Famers on the roster at the same time. Of course, Vlad Guerrero Jr. being the other one. So you will be part of some history there. And the Padres almost missed getting to face Clayton Richard. He pitched yesterday. His first start of the year, the Toronto Sun referred to it as basically part desperation in throwing Clayton Richard his first start since August. He actually pitched well. The game fell apart for them after he left. But the Blue Jays have not been very good. He was the 11th starting pitcher that they've used. I was looking. They've lost 8 of their last 10 at home. They've only won 1 of 8 home series this year. But the Padres are facing a couple of decent pitchers. Trent Thornton, who's a rookie, doesn't have great numbers, but he's actually pitched a little better than his numbers from what I could gather. He goes tonight against Joey Lucchese. Tomorrow afternoon, quite a contrast, Cal Quantrill making, what, his 4th major league start against Edwin Jackson, who's pitching for his 14th team, including the Padres.
2003, Jay. He made his debut in 2003.
I know. It's really amazing. It's one of the great careers of all time, not in terms of greatness, but just in terms of being around for that long.
He's only 35. That's what really is remarkable, that he started in 2003 in the majors. That's incredible. All right, let's get to the Sunday matchup, Jay. Tell the folks.
Sunday, Chris Paddock, always fun, and Marcus Stroman, who really impressed at the World Baseball Classic at Petco the last time it was here. I thought he was really fun to watch. And he's pitched really well. I mean, his record's 2-6, but his ERA is under 3. And Stroman, yeah, I mean, Stroman's a really good pitcher. That'll be a fun game to watch on Sunday.
I'm sure it'll occur to at least a few people that, I mean, that could be like the Padres' game 1 and game 2 starter in the in the division series this year.
After they acquire Marcus Stroman?
Yeah.
So you're slotting him ahead of Matt Strom in the playoff rotation then?
For the purposes of this lame joke, yes, I was.
Okay, that works that works well. So I was thinking this will definitely not be it's only the Padres' second trip ever, I believe, to the Rogers Center and formerly Sky Dome. And I don't think they'll be going back, even if the Padres had some miracle and made to the postseason in the World Series this year. The Blue Jays would need something, whatever's beyond a miracle, to do that. But you will see a better team next week when you go to Yankee Stadium. We will not do a podcast on Monday right at the start of that series. It's a holiday and it's an early game, but we'll get back on Tuesday and talk about the weekend and then and look at the last two games of the Yankee series. But first of all, let's go back to what we saw this week from the Padres, who the last time we talked, sky was falling, everything was in big trouble, and now they've just won 3 straight from the Diamondbacks. So what did you see this week from the Padres at Petco? Back in America.
They could actually win a game without hitting a home run for the first time since March 31st.
That's amazing.
The 4th game of the season, they won a game without a home run.
And they scored in more than 3 runs without a home run,
yes.
Right? That was the first time all year, I think.
Yep. First time all year. Now, they've only had 9 games without a home run because they score more of their runs via the home run than any other team in baseball. That's as in the percentage. It's something like 56% that they get from home runs. Now, that would be great if they could have people on base more often. So,
right.
Hey, they, you know what? Guys like Franmil Reyes are working on that. And it's, you know, for a couple games now, Franmil taking some walks, taking some borderline pitches. Sometimes that results in strikeouts, but he's trying to figure out how to be more selective, shrink the strike zone. One thing that Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado have been stressing to these guys for the last, you know, and obviously Johnny Washington and Damian Easley, the hitting coaches, but, you know, the veterans, Ian Kinsler, hey, it's not so much about outside the zone. It's like these guys are coming after us. The Padres see more strikes than any other team because they're so aggressive. And so it's like making sure you get your pitch to hit will make lead to more walks, force guys in the strike zone. I mean, that's a big deal for them to be, you know, better than they are. That's huge. So it was one game. They actually did a decent job against Zach Greinke, made him throw a lot of pitches at certain times, and then finally got to him. And, you know, I guess that's what you do against Zach Greinke. So that's what I saw, Jay. If you're looking for encouraging signs beyond the fact that they are on a three-game winning streak.
Right, and I thought I was out there Monday night to watch Paddock. I thought he looked great. He had one inning where, I mean, he gives up three hits and a run in an inning, and you're like, wow, that wasn't a very good inning. You almost forget that it's, you know, it's permitted for pitchers to give up runs, you know, every now and then.
That speaks to how good he's been.
It does.
How good he is.
It does. Like, he gives up, and then you look at the end of the night, and it's like, oh, he pitched six innings and only gave up that one run. So, hey, that was pretty good. And Strom, I thought Strom pitched really well on Tuesday. What, a couple solo homers, I think, he allowed, but kept him in the game until they could. That inning just seemed to come out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, it was like, wait, did they just score three runs against Zach Greinke?
And then because, and I'm sure you were going to get to Eric Lauer,
right,
you know, getting through seven innings for the first time, but then because it was a tight game, I believe they are down at that point 2-0, and then after he is lifted for a pinch hitter, they actually, a three-run homer puts them ahead, right? That's what happened on against Greinke on Tuesday.
Two-run homer. I think the two-run homer it was. But
two-run
yeah.
homer after an RBI single by Manny Machado.
Right,
that is
right.
Correct. So, but they scored the three runs, and that's what's happened a lot with the pitchers. Not only sometimes have they not been able to go further, but a guy like Strom, I forget the pitch count, it was low. He could have kept going, even a guy on a, you know, a workload limit, but they didn't have enough runs. Then Eric Lauer is allowed to go seven because, first of all, he was pitching and he was efficient, mm-hmm. getting guys out, and the Padres had a big lead. And, you know, that would do their pitching staff a little favor, too.
Right, right. And but that will be something they will not have to worry about for the next six games in terms of pinch hitters for pitchers. I mean, this will be strictly now, how are you pitching, what's your pitch count, that sort of yep. situation. And which brings us to one of the exciting things about the weekend, which is Josh Naylor coming up. You know, we've kind of talked before about Naylor being the guy that if Major League Baseball was ever going to enact a DH in both leagues, it would benefit the Padres quite a bit, because that's what, Josh Naylor doesn't really have a position, but he seems like he's a great prospect as a hitter, and the Padres don't have a ton of those. So it'll be, I hope we see Naylor DHing at least all three games in his native Canada this weekend. The Blue Jays are starting three right-handed pitchers against the Padres, so it seems like the logical move. I never try to say that we can think like Andy Green and the organization does when the lineup gets made out, but wouldn't you think we'd see Naylor in all three games?
Well, not only is it logical, as you've pointed out, and logical because he's being brought up, and, you know, that's just logical to play him, but also it was said to me that, you know, time to see what he can do. Now, I don't know exactly what it was that prompted them to do it, other than I believe this is another sign that they're trying to figure out what their prospects can do, and be that to show themselves, to show other teams, because some of these guys aren't going to be here forever. Because, like, take, for instance, Boog Powell, a left-handed hitting outfielder, is killing it in AAA. Well, Josh Naylor is not only a prospect, but maybe his at-bats are better than Boog Powell's, because everyone is killing it pretty much in the AAA, and especially in the Pacific Coast League. So, you know, they just felt it was time. So I think that, yes, Jay, he's going to be the designated hitter. I'd be surprised
right.
if he's not in the lineup tonight.
It's kind of cool with him being able to debut you know, in Canada, and Quantrill pitching there tomorrow adds a little bit to the to the weekend. And the Padres obviously need offense. I mean, they're actually tied with Toronto in runs scored for the season, down in the lower lower five or six teams in Major League Baseball. So any sort of offense at this point is welcome, especially since we learned, and or I guess Andy said the other day, that Fernando Tatis Jr. will not be on this road trip. So we miss out this weekend on seeing Tatis Jr. and Guerrero, you know, the two top, probably the two best prospects in baseball. But Guerrero, I guess, is, and Franmil Reyes are very good friends. So there's something for the weekend. But it's always, I mean, it's disappointing. This will make a month now by the time we get to the end of this trip. It'll be over a month, I think, since Tatis played. So we can only hope that maybe by next weekend, when the Padres and you come back to San Diego, that Tatis will join them here.
I think that this has been, this has definitely been longer than the team anticipated, which speaks to, as much as anything, to, you know, hamstrings being what they are, each body being different, and these types of muscle injuries being different. And also just as the tricky nature of diagnosing these things. And they're definitely, more than anything, since we said from the start, going to be careful. But it has definitely hurt them, for sure. So another thing where, hey, you know, in the past, look, they didn't play great on Wednesday, that's for sure, against the Diamondbacks, especially
no,
like
I mean,
on the bases.
I think I didn't even pay close attention to the game, and I saw four guys get thrown out on the bases, and it just felt like, I mean, they scored five runs in that game, and it felt like they should have had double that. With all the
so that, and then when you lose a really good player, I mean, think about it. In the past, like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster for the Padres. More often than not, and they have a losing record without Tatis. I think it might just be one game below 500 now.
Yeah,
But you know, they're not as exciting. They're not as much of a threat, and they're having to figure out how to have threats other than just the home run. So I think that if you want to look for positives, that guy is a heck of a player who was super important to him, and here they are on a three-game win streak. And again, what is it? It's the middle of May, so I'm not exactly sure. Jay, what are we talking about? 26 and 24,
yeah, I mean, we're
right?
almost a third. By the time after – actually, when we talk again on Tuesday, they will have finished exactly one-third of the season at that point. So it's early, but it's not that early anymore. And they're still, they're still hanging around and hanging around 500 without Tatis as well. I think it's 11 and 12 since he went out. And of course it helps that you can plug in, a fantastic shortstop in his stead. I mean, it's hurt them offensively because, Ty France and whoever else has been plugged in to his place has not been the same offensive threat, but I'm not sure there's been a whole lot of drop off there by putting Machado at short.
Not at short, and I don't want to pile on to Ty France at all. I mean, who is Manny Machado at third? But Ty France is a normal third baseman, and there have been some plays it's hurt, but offensive would be
more so. Real quick on the Yankees, I was trying to look while we were talking to see who the Yankees might throw on Monday, but it would be CC Sabathia's turn based on how they pitch this week. But of course, he's going on the injured list because just about every Yankee is on the injured list. And despite that, all they do is win games. I mean, they're 32-17. They've got a weekend in Kansas City, so you wouldn't expect anything less than 2 out of 3 there. So that's one of the, there's three really good teams right now in the American League. The Yankees, the Twins, and the Astros, and the Padres are going to see one of them on Monday for, an interesting series. I think it's always interesting when teams go to Yankee Stadium, and especially the young guys on the Padres that haven't been there before. I mean, guys like Hosmer and Machado, of course, played there a lot, but several of these guys, will not have been there before. So that's something else to watch. It's always just a different atmosphere there.
Yes, unfortunately, I've got to tell you, it's not old Yankee Stadium.
I
know all things must change, Fenway and Wrigley.
Even the other Yankee, old Yankee Stadium wasn't old Yankee Stadium. So there's always there's always that. But anyway, Toronto is first. A interesting weekend. Always fun to see some new guys. The Blue Jays, of course, as I said, called up Biggio, also called up Lourdes Gurriel Jr., whose brother Yuri plays for the Astros. He's been up before, but the Blue Jays are going young this weekend, although they've got some veterans as well. Two of their best offensive players are Justin Smoak and Eric Sogard, who seem to have been around for quite a while. I think they're both over 30, but should be a good weekend, and it's be an interesting weekend for you. I can't wait to hear about what Toronto's like, especially if the Raptors win tomorrow night. I think the arena is about a kilometer away from the baseball park, so be interesting to see how things are down there tomorrow. So have a great weekend. We want to thank everyone for listening, and we will be back on Tuesday.
Thank you very much.